to order the November 2nd, 2023 meeting of the Tacoma Civil Service Board. May we have the roll call, please?
Chair Hansen.
Here.
Board Member Heller.
Here.
Board Member Klein.
Here.
Board Member Sexton.
Here.
Vice Chair Wick.
Here.
Deputy City Attorney Martha Lance.
Here. Do we have any communication for information?
We do. There were two written submittals received regarding the proposed amendment to the Tacoma Municipal Code 1.24.450. Hard copies were provided to the board this evening. If anyone else would like a copy of these submittals, they are available in the back of the room.
Thank you. Next item is action on matters still pending new business. And at this point, we will have the first reading of the proposed amendment to the Tacoma Municipal Code 1.24.450, adding a residency points preference system to all competitive examinations. Ms. Hobson, would you please read aloud the proposed amendment to TMC 123450?
1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, I have. Okay, my copy says 1, 2, 3. So, 1, 2, 4, 4, 5, 0.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was my mistake.
Okay, I was just reading it off without thinking about it. So, let's start over here. Ms. Hobson, would you please read aloud the proposed amendment to TMC 124450?
This is the first reading of the following proposed amendment to Tacoma Municipal Code 1.24.450 residency. The proposed amendment would add a section C and a section D, which state as follows. C, in all competitive examinations, City of Tacoma residents shall be given a preference by adding 2 points to the total passing grade based upon a possible rating of 100 points as perfect. Subsection 1, to receive such credit, documentation should be presented to the HR director or designee, either with application or prior to the appointment of the position, in the form of a driver's license, official Washington State ID card, address, or passport, or B, a current utility bill, electricity, natural gas, water, or sewer. Section D, in hiring decisions where two or more candidates have equal qualifications, including experience, interviews, and other testing, preference must be given to the City of Tacoma resident.
Thank you, Ms. Hobson. This is the first reading of the proposed amendment to TMC 124450. Do we have comments from the board regarding this proposed amendment?
Chair Hansen.
Yes, Board Member Heller.
So as I said last week when I first mentioned this and talked about it at the board meeting, I am very open to proposals on how to build a better mousetrap and approve this language as it was drafted. So I've heard quite a bit of input and a lot of very, very good. And so I just want my fellow board members and members of the public here tonight to be aware of my intent to amend this proposal going forward into the second reading. And I would amend it to say, in all open competitive examinations, except for police and fire exams, the City of Tacoma residents shall be given a preference by adding 2 points to the total passing grade based on the possible rating of 100 points as perfect. And then subsection 1, I would amend to say, to receive such credit, documentation should be presented to the HR director or designee, either with application or prior to the certification of the list, in the form of. And then that remains the same. Subsection D, I would intend to amend at reading two to say, in the hiring decisions where two or more candidates have equal qualifications as determined by the hiring authority, including experience, interviews, and other testing, preference must be given to the City of Tacoma resident unless there is conflicting collective bargaining language, then the CBA language will prevail. So that will be my intent going forward into second reading, to make some changes to reflect really great comments I've heard.
Do we have any other comments by board members at this time?
Mr. Chairman.
Board Member Sexton.
Just to mention that I don't think a collective bargaining agreement ever needs to be mentioned because it always prevails.
So that was the question that came to me, and maybe our attorney, Pat Lance, can. I'm sorry, Martha. I know. I worked with her in the ledge. I have a hard time not going right there. Our attorney, Martha Lance, can maybe come into which would prevail legally, whether it's a rule change to the personnel rules or a collective bargaining agreement normally.
So I guess at this point, with all respect, since we're just at first reading, let's not get into a debate about, what it may or may not end up looking like. I think, Board Member Heller, you expressed your intent that you wanted to recognize that a collective bargaining agreement has some impact. And instead of trying to hash that out now, I would request that we note that and we could, make sure that we state it properly. And Board Member Sexton, when it comes to second reading, if it still emerges in a way that concern is something that is presenting itself to you, then we could fix it then, or even before, if you present it, if you communicate.
Well, as you know, it's always a tricky situation. If you name something and then you've taken it out, was there any intent in that? I don't know. It's something, we need to be very careful with.
But my question, though, is a general question about if there's conflict between the personnel rules as being part of the rules then passed by Civil Service Board and then passed by the City Council. So aren't they ordinance? Wouldn't that normally prevail over contract language, or is it the other way around?
Well, I think it's really hard to say without seeing, what the conflict is. I mean, ideally you would harmonize a conflict so that both would take effect. I mean, you can't, by collective bargaining agreement, bargain away a legal mandate. I don't think you could, if it's, but again, I don't think I can give a clear answer to that because I think it really depends on, what the two provisions are. Can they be harmonized? What the conflict is. And I'm not prepared to give more of a detailed answer than that because I definitely don't want it to be wrong when we look at the actual facts and what's actually presented. So if it's all right, I think we should just note that is one of the things that Board Member Heller wishes to explore. It's a question that's been raised, and I'm happy to provide more research and a more reasoned, detailed opinion.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Board Member Klein.
I debated within my own mind whether to bring this up now or not, but I think the context will be good for the public in terms of listening to this. And I would start by saying I appreciate Board Member Heller's interest in recognizing Tacoma residents in the hiring process. I think that's a good consideration. But the problem with that if you don't also don't balance it with the fact that we currently have a situation where you have to live in the city of Tacoma in order at the hiring point to be hired. And I think what people are finding is that the due to many socioeconomic factors and other things that Tacoma alone can no longer provide an adequate source of employees for all of the complex jobs that the city has to fill. So I think, and I say I'm on the side of Board Member Heller with this, but there's another component that I think it has to be balanced with in order to be the most fair and reasonable solution and efficient solution is to have the board concurrently reestablish a waiver so that that there's the ability to recruit people from outside the city of Tacoma. So I would hope that this proposal that I basically agree with could be married with a waiver between now and when we have to finally vote.
And again, Board Member Klein, you are welcome, and I would encourage you to write that up and present it in the form of an amendment should this come to the second reading.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Board Member Sexton.
If I may, you know, not to, you know, debate this issue at this time, but, you know, just to, you know, say that there is a waiver in place and there has always been a waiver, you know, so so there has always been a waiver in place.
Board Member Wick.
I would like to make clear there is only a waiver in place until December 31st because creating an ongoing blanket waiver was voted down 3-2 by this board. So to say it's always been in place and is in place, making sure the public knows that is only till December 31st.
Any other comments by board members? Board Member Sexton.
For the last time, Mr. Chairman, sorry. But just to be clear, besides the blanket waiver, the waiver that was originally in place and still is in place is through the Civil Service Board. The city may request a waiver through us. That's been the system. That's always been the system. That's always been there. Thank you.
Any other comments by board members? Okay, the board will take public comment on this matter, but we will not be taking a vote tonight. Any vote will take place following the second reading. When we reach the public comment section on the agenda, I will call on anyone who wishes to speak. If you are in the room, there is a sign-up sheet at the back of the room. Please sign in to indicate your intent to speak. And if there are individuals who failed to sign up and wish to speak, they can do so after we get through the list, the sign-up list. If you are attending by the Zoom link, please raise your virtual hand during the public comment portion of the meeting, and I will call on you after we have heard from those in the room wishing to speak. We have received some written communications on this issue already. If anyone else wishes to provide a written submission, please do so by emailing Wendy Hobson, Civil Service Board Coordinator at whobson, that's W-H-O-B-S-O-N, at cityoftacoma.org. The next item on our agenda is...
Chair Hansen?
Yes.
With respect, you'll see on the screens that we have, a timer has been set up when we get to the comments. It's currently set by default for comments to be at the two-minute mark, and I think that's to allow everybody to have the opportunity to speak. But I don't think that was announced ahead of time, so I would leave it to the discretion of the chair if you want to extend a particular person's comment time But I think the default plan was 2 minutes and then take it from there.
Okay, that's the first that I've heard about that. So I'll take that into consideration. Thank you. Okay, do we have a consideration of matters set for public hearing?
None this evening.
Civil Service Coordinator report.
I do not have a report this evening.
Human Resource Director report and request. Ms. Beidelman.
Thank you, Chair Hansen, members of the Civil Service Board. I have three things to report on behalf of Director Fritz this evening. And the first is our learning and development team has launched our updated Supervisor Policy Foundation learning path, which will be required for all City of Tacoma supervisors. It includes topics such as labor relations, legal, equal employment opportunity, safety, risk management, workers' comp, recruitment and selection, performance management, and benefits and compensation. And the next item, the city has established a team led by the Human Resources Director and Safety Director to inventory security incidents our employees are experiencing at their work sites and in the field. This team is a collaboration between city leaders and our union partners and is charged with inventorying employee security incidents, developing solutions to reduce the number of incidents, and improving the perception of security at the work sites. The team is currently in the process of gathering information from city departments to assess what practices are currently in place and to leverage work that is already being done on a citywide level, in addition to training and other resources in order to provide recommendations. And then the final item, the city recently appointed Ramiro Chavez to the position of Public Works Director after a nationwide recruitment. Mr. Chavez's first day with the city was October 9th. He comes to us from Thurston County, where he served as the county manager. He has a strong background in public works, architecture, public administration, and project management, and we are fortunate to have him join the city in this role. Mr. Chavez replaces Curtis Kingsolver, who's been serving as the deputy city manager. This concludes the director's report.
Thank you. Okay, now we are ready for comments by the public. And I have the sign-up sheet in front of me, and the first individual is Enzon Wang. If you would like to come to the podium and provide your comments. Thank you, Mr. Wang.
Good evening, Chair Hansen.
The Chief Data Officer and Assistant IT Director working for the city. I'm here to share my concerns about introducing preferential treatment based on residency during competitive examinations. I want to clarify that while every colleague I talk to shares my view, I am not speaking on behalf of the IT department. Having listened to several recent board meetings, I understand that a primary motivation to revoke the blanket waiver comes from the board's commitment to upholding the charter and following the voters' decision in 2014. If that decision can still be reconsidered, I think we should, but at least understand the board members' perspective. However, when we look at the preferential treatment in competitive examinations, the city charter does not mention it, and there's no voter decision to speak of. In my view, the rationale for revoking the blanket waiver does not apply to the new addition. Based on my experience as a leader, I refrain from rewarding employees for factors outside of their performance with the concerns that we may risk undermining the culture of performance overall. One of the city's principles is excellence. It states, we achieve the highest performance possible. When residents commented at recent government performance and the finance committee meetings, their concerns are about rising cost of service. Most residents may never apply to work for the city, and their primary expectations are excellent and cost-effective services. I urge the board to consider the broader implications and evaluate what's truly beneficial to all 221,000 Tacoma residents. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Wong. The next individual is Kipling Morris.
Good evening, Chair Hansen, members of the board. Kipling Morris, Chief Operating Officer for the IT Department. Like my colleague, Enjo, my views are my own, but just after speaking with my colleagues as well, and as a Tacoman resident, I did want to share my concern about not only the most recent changes proposed for the point system on promotional and new hires, but also the lifting of the waiver in general. Many of the most critical technology systems are operated by people in classified positions, and many of those at the highest level or the highest skill set happen to not be Tacoma citizens. And my concern is that it's twofold. One, similar to Enjo, my concern would be that we need to have the best person operating those critical systems, regardless of residency. Second is, given the market and our ability to recruit and retain talent, we are heavily in competition with other areas, and we're fortunate when we do get good talent here at the city. So my concern is for any change from current process that impedes our hiring, reduces our chances of, again, getting the best candidates to operate that critical technology for the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Morris. France? Sure. Yes, Board Member Klein.
I would just like to verify that the microphone is working, because, I mean, I'm a little bit struggling to hear it. I don't know if the audience can hear. Does that need to be turned up or on?
Do we have a technical person that can help us with this? Oh, it is on?
Just need to get a little closer.
It's on? Yeah. Okay.
It does say don't touch the microphone, so I just broke the rule, but maybe if we get a little closer to it, maybe get up in there. It'll
okay. Thank you. Francine Artis, would you like to come forward, please?
Good evening. My name is Francine Artis, and I'm a proud resident of the city of Tacoma. I've been here since 84, and if I recall, when I was first moved out here, Tacoma was a much bigger city, and some of the folks who used to live in the city of Tacoma now are part of University Place and Lakewood. So I think the residency requirement can have some unintended complications. I currently am the manager of our customer services department, and we have about 150 classified employees in our department. With that, we've got quite a few that do not live within the city of Tacoma. Asking employees to, it's hard enough trying to find employees in this workforce now to the great employees to come on board, but having a large portion of our customers that are trying to be more reflective of the customers that we serve and working for Tacoma Public Utilities. We serve customers outside of the city. And so in reflecting the customers we serve, that would encompass areas outside of the city of Tacoma as well. The two-point preference could potentially mean current employees who live outside the city of Tacoma or who live outside Tacoma, who are applying for an open position or possibly a promotion, would be passed over even if they have the most senior experience and technology or experience and technical skills needed for that position. And so giving someone extra points because they simply live in the city is not necessarily a great thing. I also think that it could have some unintended consequences, as many of the classified employees, those positions are typically entry-level positions. And if you have most of your entry-level positions, which are at the higher pay scale, forced to live in the city of Tacoma, and those that are not in the classified pay scales able to live wherever they would like to, it could pose some unintended consequences in terms of equity. There was a lot more that I want to say, but 2 minutes is really short, so I just want to thank you for your time and consideration on this measure.
Thank you, Ms. Artis. Jackie Flowers.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the Civil Service Board. My name is Jackie Flowers. I am the Director of Tacoma Public Utilities. Thank you for the important work that you do on behalf of our customers. We cannot meet the mission of delivering clean, reliable services essential to quality of life without our employees and our labor partners. Employees are our most important resource. We share your interest in seeing applicants from Tacoma be successful in the pursuit of their careers at Tacoma Public Utilities. We are committed to strengthening our partnerships and community to deliver pipelines and pathways for talent from Tacoma. While we recognize that not every classification that we employ has a pathway from Tacoma, we are actively engaged in removing barriers and increasing opportunities to as many areas as we can. It's important to note that TPU operates critical infrastructure in 7 counties in Washington. We thank the Civil Service Board for granting a blanket waiver for those positions assigned to critical infrastructure in outside counties. This is paramount to our success to be able to respond to emergencies and operate in those assets. Additionally, approximately 40% of Tacoma water customers and 45% of Tacoma power customers reside outside the city of Tacoma. Customers in Fife, University Place, Faircrest, Bonnie Lake, and unincorporated Pierce County entrust us to deliver services that are essential to quality of life. Geographic diversity of our employees aid us in our emergency planning and timely response during a potential state of emergency. Achieving this mission is very complicated in today's labor market. We have many headwinds, including recruiting for specialized positions can be challenging due to a lack of qualified candidates. Many experienced government employees are retiring, leading to a loss of institutional knowledge. Lengthy and complex civil service hiring procedures in public sector can discourage potential candidates. Local governments may struggle to attract younger employees, leading to concerns about succession planning. Agencies are working hard to improve diversity in the workforce, which requires new strategies for retention and recruitment. I've been managing public utilities for nearly 30 years. I've never seen the labor market like we are experiencing today. We are going to need to be creative and be able to retain every opportunity to draw from experienced talent in hard to obtain classifications, and we need to have the ability to expedite our recruiting to maintain that competitive edge. I urge you to continue with the blanket waiver, as has been historically successful and operated for decades, and will be consistent with the City Council waiver that they have in place for appointed positions. And with respect to Board Member Heller's proposal, I'm just concerned this may add more complexity and unnecessarily time to an already cumbersome process when we are in a very competitive labor market. So thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Flowers. Val Sherman.
Good evening, Chair Hansen and members of the Civil Service Board. Let me make sure can you guys hear me okay? Great. Thank you for allowing me to share my perspective today. The opinions I will be sharing are my own and not intended to be on behalf of Tacoma Public Utilities. I do, however, fully support the opinions expressed today by Jackie Flowers and other representatives from TPU. My perspective is informed by several factors. I'm a woman of color, parent and auntie to young adults who are of mixed ethnicity and part of an underrepresented group. I'm a former Tacoma resident and a current Faircrest resident. I've held former roles in human resources, responsible for recruiting. I'm a current TPU employee. I'm in favor of any efforts that provide opportunities for applicants from Tacoma when it best serves the Tacoma community, Tacoma Public Utilities, and the communities of the customers we serve. I believe that adding a residency points preference system will have a negative impact on improving diversity. By giving preference to white residents over underrepresented non-resident current employees and non-resident applicants, This topic is very personal to me. As a current employee, I feel lucky to have a job that comes with a great benefits package, especially a pension. As a parent and auntie of young adults who are starting their careers, I see employment at the City of Tacoma as a great opportunity, but one that could be out of reach for them because of the cost of living in Tacoma. They're lucky because mom and dad could help them out, but what about those that don't have access to those resources? It especially would be out of reach for those underrepresented groups who have been denied access and or have suffered past institutional discrimination. And according to the census and other federal measuring tools, this includes African Americans, Asian Americans, Hispanics, and Native Americans. My hope is that City of Tacoma and TPU will become more diverse. The reality is that Tacoma, based on the 2021 data from the Census Bureau, is 57% white. And I know that the majority of TPU employees are white also. With all due respect, adding a residency point system seems to be a way to keep Tacoma and TPU mostly white. I know that there are already barriers to those underrepresented groups that live in Tacoma. City of Tacoma and TPU has worked to form partnerships to attract talent from Tacoma and communities outside of Tacoma. Adding this residency point system will have a negative impact on improving diversity by giving preference to white residents over, again, those underrepresented, non-resident, current employees and non-resident applicant. Is that the impact that's intended? I would like to close by sharing one of City of Tacoma's guiding principles on equity. We understand and reflect the community we serve. We ensure every community member has services and opportunities that will enable people to satisfy their essential needs and advance their well-being. Our community that we serve spans way more than just the city limits of Tacoma. We serve and hire from many cities, towns that are in or around our service territory. Hiring from outside the city of Tacoma limits helps diversify the city of Tacoma workforce and aid the city to have multiple perspectives, which overall benefits our ratepayers. My understanding is that the blanket waiver has been successfully employed for decades. I now understand what the drivers are for implementing the amendment, and it saddens me, because probably most of the people that voted in favor of the of removing the waiver are probably white. I implore you to take some more time to process all the testimony you hear today and consider keeping the blanket waiver in place. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Sherman. Cheryl Brown.
Good evening, Chair Hansen and members of the board. My name is Cheryl Brown. I'm the Training and Apprenticeship Manager at Tacoma Power. The current labor market is very competitive for line electricians specifically. Putting a residency requirement could ultimately affect our ability to hire qualified candidates to work on our electrical infrastructure, which is hazardous work that you just can't hire just anyone into. Nearly half of our service territory is outside the city limit, and likely more than half of our T&D infrastructure is outside city limits, some of which is outside Pierce County. The community we serve is not just the city of Tacoma. We also have two reporting centers, both a north and south service center. Geographic proximity to at least one of these two service centers has material value to our customers in terms of emergency response time to outages. Employees reporting to the south service center living closer also has environmental impacts. The residency requirement could affect upward mobility for many of our existing employees as they compete to enter into our apprenticeship programs. I've been here before you for many times over the last 13 years, presenting examples from water, grounds maintenance, and customer service of giving internal employees an opportunity to transfer into our apprenticeships and create a life-changing career for them and their families. Sometimes it's between a fraction of a point in that process, so 2 points for just their residency as they've given dedication and service to the city of Tacoma could greatly impact that process. We do plan to focus on Tacoma residents and or Pierce County residents as we implement the pre-apprenticeship program in 2024, and that is our plan to support the community in that way. We also, I want to point out, have several concerns about the impacts to our classified promotional processes, as others have mentioned here today. For example, our senior foreman positions, there's a lot of factors that contribute to that most qualified candidate in that process. There's a written exam, an oral board exam, experience with being set up as a foreman, seniority, tenure, and sometimes in that process, it also comes down to a fraction of a point, and that could really impact that process. I know I'm out of time, so I will summarize the last point. Was just essentially that Tacoma has simply become unaffordable for some people. In our grounds maintenance work group specifically, a lot of them are working second jobs, and dictating where they have to live and reside will not only affect their life and their family, but their extracurricular activities, the types of homes they can afford, the amount of land that they can have for them and their children. So I would just ask you to consider these things in your next vote and reading. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Brown. Tammy Little, I can't quite read your last name, Loden.
Thank you, Chair Hansen, members of the Civil Service Board. I'm Tammy Little-Lobin, a Tacoma resident and an HR manager with the city. My statements here today are my own and not on behalf of the department. I urge you not to pass the preference points in addition to the residency requirement that you're considering tonight and at the second reading. The residency requirement in general and the preference points being considered are discriminatory towards housing insecure job seekers who would not be able to have a physical address verified either at the time of application or of appointment. Many of the classified jobs at the City of Tacoma are livable wage, entry-level jobs. When our policies require verification of residence and or seeking a waiver, that makes it less likely that housing insecure individuals will get interviewed, and if they do make it to being the final candidate, it will delay their start when they are already struggling. It is inequitable and a disservice to our community to add these additional barriers to employment at the City of Tacoma. Also, on behalf of my colleague, Kathy Emerson, a lifelong Tacoma resident who could not be here tonight, I'd like to share her points of concern. The first is that we have no code language to allow eligibility lists to change after they've been established. I know Chair or Member Heller, you addressed that in the amendments that you plan to submit, so I'm not going to spend more time on that. But other concerns are logistical and making the already lengthy application and recruitment process even more complex. If we were to require proof of residency at the time of application in order to get preference points, we are making candidates take more time on their application or discouraging them from applying altogether. If we don't require proof of residency and go by stated address, there would be the additional step of mapping the addresses to determine eligibility, because many people in Parkland, Midland, etc., will have Tacoma in their address and would erroneously be awarded points. These additional steps do more harm than good in our already long recruiting process. Thank you.
Thank you. Scott Dewhurst.
All right, good evening, Chair Hansen, members of the Civil Service Board. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm Scott Dewhurst. I work at Tacoma Water as a superintendent. I just want to highlight a couple things for you tonight. I think many of these things have been shared already, so let me just comment on a few things. First and foremost, the American Water Works Association, which is a national trade organization for utilities, and really all the utilities across the region here, have identified for many years now the challenges we have in attracting qualified employees and qualified staff to run water utilities across the country. So this is an ongoing issue that we're facing not only here in Tacoma, but across the country. There's lots of competition out there for jobs. So I would like to really request that we not make a consideration around residency be a requirement or give any kind of preference there, because when it comes down to it, I think being in the water system is very much the foundation of public health in the community. We want to have the best and most qualified staff to work on that. And as people are progressing up in their career paths, I do not want to inherently potentially penalize someone for not having that ability to demonstrate their skills and abilities to give them the proper selection of their performance of their job. Also, as was already stated by Director Flowers, we have a lot of our assets are outside the city of Tacoma. And I think diversity of residency actually gives us strength when we have challenges and issues that go on in the water system. We can actually respond more quickly if we have diversity of where people live. So we have a number of assets that range from here to King County. So I really would like to request again that we consider that as we make this determination. And then the other thing is, I think this is an administrative burden to the process. We already have a very somewhat sometimes challenging hiring process. And to add another step and to have to somehow verify, again, is this indeed the address where a candidate lives still, is another fact that we'd have to really take into consideration. So thank you for your time. Thank you for the work you do for our employees and appreciate your consideration. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Dewhurst. Jeff Jenkins.
Good evening, Chair Hansen and members of the Civil Service Board. My name is Jeff Jenkins. I'm an Assistant Public Works Director here for the city. And I'm here tonight to talk about the blanket residency requirement for and the assignment of the two-point residency preference for our classified positions within the city. Finding qualified candidates is getting really, really hard, even with a nationwide pool to select from. An example of this challenge is evident in a recent advertisement for the classification of street maintenance worker, where we received applications from 96 people, with only about a third meeting the residency requirement. We contacted 27 people to gauge interest and set up initial interviews, but succeeded in getting verbal assertions from only 7 people to interview. Of the 7, 3 actually showed up to the interview. Combine this situation with anecdotal conversations from recently hired classified staff who reported that they would not have applied to the city if there was a residency point preference in place. And we foresee potential higher vacancy rates for longer periods of time, smaller candidate pools, and longer hiring processes due to the need to seek residency waivers that would likely put us at a competitive disadvantage with other employment opportunities in the area. And then another issue that emerged in discussions with staff is the perception of unfairness to existing non-resident staff seeking internal promotional opportunities, as current employees applying for classified promotional opportunities may be at a two-point disadvantage for that recruitment. So thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Jenkins. Byron Allen.
Good evening, Chair Hansen, members of the Civil Service Board. I appreciate the opportunity to come before you. My name is Byron Allen. I am business manager for IBEW Local 43, also chair of Tacoma Joint Labor. You've heard from a lot of speakers so far this evening that have spoke to the issues with regard to hiring and being able to attract top people to be able to serve the needs of the city of Tacoma. I'm not going to reiterate those comments that were made, but I do want to speak to what I believe to be a direct attack on a unionized worker at the city of Tacoma. The term classified worker at the city of Tacoma is just another name for a unionized worker. You ask anyone in HR and they're going to tell you that there are very few non-classified employees that are not in the union, that are in a union. They're all unionized workers. This is an attack on the bedrock of unionism, seniority language in contracts. Member Sexton, I think you touched on that earlier. Obviously, you did not get an opinion on that because we cannot undo code language with contract language. This is an attack on the rights of unionized workers in the city of Tacoma. There is a blanket waiver in place for non-classified employees, of which there are over 1,100 non-classified employees with the city of Tacoma. Do you realize to be a non-classified employee with the city of Tacoma, you have to either be an officer elected by the people, you have to be a member of a board or commission, you have to be an officer appointed by the mayor or council, you have to be a department head or a confidential secretary to the city manager. City manager may have no more than 3 administrative assistants. You have to be a professional person in the office of the city attorney. You have to be a person employed in a professional or scientific capacity to conduct a special inquiry, investigation, or examination. These aren't my words. This is straight out of the municipal code. All other employees in the city of Tacoma are classified employees. That's who you're attacking by taking away this blanket waiver. that they currently have. A residency requirement that only applies to classified employees means it only applies to a unionized workforce, and that is unacceptable. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Is there anyone else in the audience present that didn't have an opportunity to sign up who would like to speak at this time? Okay, so I think we're going to move. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Please state your name before your comments, and thank you for coming up here and talking to us.
Good evening, Chair Hansen and members of the Civil Service Board. My name is Lisa Woods, and I am the director of our Office of Equity and Human Rights for the City of Tacoma, and appreciate your time this evening. I want to lend my voice to some of the concerns that have been raised around the lifting of a blanket waiver. In terms of the study that was held in 2019 by Keene Independent Research, and I want to share some of the key conclusions that they reached in that study. We engaged Keene to ensure that we had equity and fairness in our personnel policies and practices. And of their key conclusions in that research were that employees who join the city live throughout Pierce County. And they concluded that enforcing a local hire policy would have negative effects on the city's workforce and not advance our diversity objectives. They also found that the work that we have been doing has improving some of our diversity numbers. So any changes to a blanket waiver are concerning in regards that it might impact the diverse hiring and recruitment efforts that we've had success in. I also want to share the concerns of Director Flowers in limiting our hiring and adding steps into an already complex process that delays the time that it takes for us to hire positions that are critical. We know that we are in the midst of succession planning for our future, and we have retirements coming. So any change that's going to impact our ability to recruit a diverse workforce that represents our community, which is one of our key objectives for the city of Tacoma, is concerning. And I just want to elevate my voice and agree and share with those that have already commented this evening that you would please reconsider lifting that blanket waiver. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the audience who did not have an opportunity to sign up would like to speak at this time?
Mr. Chairman?
Board Member Sexton.
Before anybody leaves, you had some great comments tonight, and I would really appreciate it that anybody who has written comments get those to staff. And if you don't have written comments with you tonight, you know, maybe in the next few days, if you could get that information to us, to staff, I would really appreciate it. There was a whole lot of a really good comments there tonight, and a lot of things I'd like to follow up on. May I continue, Mr. Chair?
Board Member Sexton, just with all due respect, it's just been pointed out to me that there's a number of people on the Zoom link that haven't yet spoken. So
that's exactly what I was going to say.
Okay, at this time we're going to meet.
We need to hear from the people on Zoom.
Okay, and that's exactly what we're going to do right now, Board Member Sexton. And if we could have our Zoom link, or I'm not sure how to, I don't see any Zoom.
I can see the list of participants. And so if people are wanting to make a comment, they need to raise their hand, and then I will call them out for you if that works. Okay,
that's great. I would really appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, so if people on the Zoom are interested in making comments, please hit the raise your hand button at the bottom of the screen. I will ask you to unmute using the system, and then you'll be able to make your comments. First up, we have Catherine Violet.
Yes, thank you very much for this opportunity to speak. I do agree with everyone that's spoken so far. I do work for Tacoma Public Utilities and field operations. However, my comment is of my own volition. I am also a resident of Tacoma, and you know, Tacoma is about excellence and it is about equity and inclusion. And I don't think that giving the point preference is following what Tacoma is about, honestly. I am also a member of my union. And, you know, I believe that this would not prove worthy for the city of Tacoma to move forward with this. I, as a Tacoma resident, feel that I do want the best people hired, and it shouldn't matter where they live to be able to get hired. I want the best candidate. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That is the only hand we have up on the Zoom.
Oh.
Okay. Is there, Board Member Wick?
I'm not sure if this is the appropriate timing, but I was trying to convey at last meeting, the special meeting that was called, I was not able to be personally in attendance and I was having horrible technical difficulties. And so I want to convey my thoughts that I was very disturbed that a special meeting was called for the sole purpose to entertain putting this forth for a first reading. I'm hugely disturbed that we spent a year and a half talking about the blanket waiver, having sessions about it, yet in weeks, in a matter of weeks, this issue was brought forward and is being pushed through for consideration about changing personnel rules when clearly there has not been enough time to investigate all the intricacies that this type of change to the personnel rules would cause. And I would actually like to make a motion that this entire thing is tabled and that we actually open into study sessions and gain some board-wide education on the matter and the impact that a decision like this would have on our community.
Do we have a second to the motion? Board Member Klein.
Could I ask our lawyer, are we still in the public session? Still, and I mean, I'm not opposed to the motion. I'm just wondering if it's going to be considered valid based on the circuit where we're at right now.
Well, I mean, anybody can make a motion at any time. So I think that the public comment had concluded unless there was anybody else that didn't get a chance. I think it's fine.
Officially declared over.
We're at the end of the public.
Okay, I'll second the motion.
Okay. Any discussion of the motion? Any board member would like to comment on the motion? Okay, well, if you're the, you may know more about Robert's rule of order than I do. Okay. So all in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay.
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 So the motion does not pass.
Nay.
I believe we're at the point of adjournment.
Actually, Mr. Chair, sorry. It was just pointed out to me by my technical assistant here that somebody did again raise their hand on Zoom. So it's technically past the time, but if the chair wants to entertain in the spirit of inclusiveness, there is one more person.
Right. We want to give everybody the opportunity. So absolutely.
We have Jenica's iPhone.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jenica, and I do apologize that I was a bit late to raising my hand. I just wanted to throw out my opinion as well. I am somebody who lives within Tacoma, but do reside outside of the city limits. As a single mom of three kids, I cannot afford to live within the city limits. My payment to live would more than likely double. My kids would be affected, and I don't feel that it is fair. As an employee who thinks equity is important, I feel that I should be included in that and everybody else. I don't feel I am an employee that deserves less than others. I feel I work hard. I am in customer service. My job is not easy. I work hard every single day. I do my job and I do it well. I don't feel that it would be fair to lose points just because I don't live within city limits. I am serviced through TPU for my electricity. I feel like I should be given equal opportunity as everybody else. I feel like Jackie Flowers and Francine gave very solid points, and I just feel like I should support them. They are supporting me, and I just wanted to throw my opinion out there.
Thank you for your comments. I don't believe we got your full name.
My name is Jenica Stogstill.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any other do we have any other comments from the audience or from the people appearing by Zoom? Okay.
There are no hands in Zoom
either. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Are we able to make comment now?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I need to respond to some of the comments I heard tonight. I was the original maker of the blanket waiver motion, and you know, just about every meeting since then, I bring up to the city that I don't think the blanket waiver is working. And I say that because it was pointed out here tonight that the population of the city of Tacoma, I believe we were told, it's 40-some percent non-white. And the workforce of the city of Tacoma is 80% white. That's why I think the blanket waiver is not working. That's why I've been trying to do something about that for the past few years. You know, so I heard all the comments here tonight, and it sounds like this thing needs some work, especially heard the remarks about classified workers. But I want you to know that I am not doing this because, you know, I'm an old white guy and I want more white guys in the city of Tacoma. I've been trying to get those numbers, accurate numbers, from the city of Tacoma. I've requested them every meeting as long as I can remember here. But as it seems like what I've heard reported is that the workforce of the city of Tacoma is 80% white, and that's why I've been telling the city of Tacoma that I don't think the blanket waiver is working. That's where I'm at. I'm gonna read all the comments. I'm gonna consider everything that was said here tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're at the, unless anyone else would like to speak, we are ready to adjourn the meeting. I believe we need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Is there a second? Okay, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for your time and your comments, and I appreciate your input. And we will be making a decision at the next meeting. Thank you. December, the first Thursday in December.